Earth and Sky.
If you take the long-term view with nanotechnology, you can see how it could transform society in some quite major ways. But the reality is we will not see that potential realized if we don't understand how to use it wisely and safely.
You're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast, and that was Andrew Menard, Chief Science Advisor on the Project on Emerging Nanotechnologies. Menard is one of a panel of experts who struggle with real-life dilemmas related to nanotechnology in a new Fred Friendly seminar series being broadcast on public TV stations beginning in April 2008. The series title is Nanotechnology, The Power of Small. EarthSky's Dan Kulpinski spoke to Menard in his office in Washington.
Describe for us the Power of Small seminar and the panel you participated in.
Well, this was a panel of really diverse experts in both nanotechnology and its applications, but also some of the broader legal, social, environmental aspects of technology. And the aim of the panel was to get us together to give us some really challenging scenarios and see how we responded to those scenarios on the fly.
You mentioned the nanotechnology and food, and the example was this Admiral Chicken plant and the new packaging they had come up with, which could sense when the chicken was bad, it would turn the package or the inside, it would turn it red. And then another example with Admiral Chicken was the flavor in the food. We imagined they had made this fried chicken coating that was lower in fat but still tasted great, and this also had nano. These two examples, are they do they exist in the real world? Is this possible?
People are carrying out very detailed research into both of those applications. The smart packaging that actually tells you what's going on inside the packaging, that is a technology which is really very close to market.
So the packaging, the ability to have this sensor in the food and have it show the consumer when the food is bad, that seems like a really useful application of nanotechnology.
What if you have a scenario where companies feel they can put stuff on the shelf for longer until just before that point when it's too bad to eat, and they use that as the decision point for deciding how they stock the shelves, how they sell the stuff? That really doesn't benefit the consumer because you're not getting fresh food. You're getting food which is just prior to being off. But there are complex issues here. And one of the issues is, if you're going to use a technology like this so you can see what the quality of the food is inside the packaging, are there alternatives to that? So, for instance, are there alternatives to actually ensuring you have a fresh source of food rather than rely on extending that shelf life of the food? And maybe we ought to be thinking about alternative approaches to food rather than using a technological fix.
Now, tell us what is known and unknown about how nanoparticles act in various products.
Now, if you look at the science is fairly clear. It says in some cases, for some materials, if you make them at the nanoscale, they behave differently. They react with the body in different ways. They can get to different parts of the body. They can get to different parts of the environment, and they react with environmental systems in different ways. Whether this means that there is a greater risk associated with nanomaterials, we really don't have enough information yet. And the chances are some nanomaterials are going to be completely safe, other nanomaterials are going to behave in a very unusual and unconventional way. What it means is that there is a gap in our knowledge which desperately needs to be filled with the right sort of research.
I heard in the panel people saying there were no regulations on nanotechnology, I believe specifically with nanotech and food. Is that true across the board? There are no regulations for nanotech at all, or are there some in different industries?
At the federal level, there are no regulations that explicitly say this is for nanotechnology. There are regulations which are relevant to nanotech products. And the trick and what people are struggling with at the moment is working out how to effectively apply existing regulations.
I know in the panel, they mentioned sunblock, I believe, with the titanium oxide. And last year, I started using such a sunblock. Should I be concerned at all or double-check that label?
I don't think you need to be concerned. If you look at nanotechnology in sunblocks, it's actually a very nice technology that's being used. So the idea is you take particles which are going to block the ultraviolet light. And if you were going to do this 10 years ago, you'd have large particles in your sunblock which would block the ultraviolet light, but they'd also block the visible light as well, so it would look like putting white paste on your skin. Cosmetically, not very enticing. What nano does is it shrinks the size of the particles to a size where they still block the UV, but they're transparent to visible light, so it looks like you're putting a clear film on your skin. Now, that has got to be good because you're putting stuff on top of the skin. It's cosmetically acceptable, so people are more likely to use it, and it gives you a good protection factor. However, there are still one or two unknowns there. The biggest unknown is whether those nanoparticles can pass through the skin and maybe get to the underlying layers of the skin, possibly into the bloodstream, and if they do, whether they can cause any harm there. The vast bulk of evidence at the moment indicates that they do not get through the skin. But there is still that little bit of uncertainty there that really needs to be probed. However, if you're going to make the decision as to whether to buy one of these new nanotech sunscreens or whether you're going to buy a more conventional sunscreen based on organic chemicals, you've got to balance what is known, what is not known about the nanotech particles compared to what is known and what is not known about the more conventional chemicals. And certainly, in every case, the more conventional chemicals are not always the safer alternative.
And is nanotechnology similar to other technologies that have come before in terms of this sort of risk versus reward?
The typical model in the past has been to exploit the benefits and then try and mop up the problems associated with the risks afterwards. It's been very much a reactive way of doing business. And I think people are now beginning to realize that we cannot carry on working in that way with new technologies. The world is just too small. There are too many people here. We're too much interconnected. The new technologies are just too powerful. We need to change the paradigm of how we develop a new technology. And that is working with nanotechnology, without a doubt. This whole debate about how we use it safely has started at an earlier stage and at a greater level with this technology than I think with any preceding technology. The question remains, though, is this going to be effective? Are we actually going to heed the warnings? Are we going to do something different? Or are we still going to carry on with the old way of doing things?
That was Andrew Menard, Chief Science Advisor on the Project on Emerging Nanotechnologies, speaking with EarthSky's Dan Kulpinski. This special Clear Voices for Science podcast was produced in cooperation with ICANN Productions and the Fred Friendly Seminars, with funding from the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. You'll find more about the televised panel discussions on nanotechnology at www.powerofsmall.org. This is EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.